Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
825, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A lot of law and order people think that the way to fix juvenile crime is punishment and to set an example for others. I would suggest that when you're standing in front of a juvenile with a gun, maybe at that point you wish that you had gone to some of the predetermining factors that got you and that person with the gun to that point. City Council commissioned a committee to look at childhood trauma and recommend ways to correct it. The study, the author of that study, Dr. Denise Shervington, is our guest, clinical professor of psychiatry at Tulane University School of Medicine. Good morning, doctor. Thank you for your patience.
Good morning.
Tell me about trauma and the effect. What type of trauma are we talking about and how that can affect kids when they're young? What kind of trauma do the statistics indicate that children are witness to and how that can affect them later on down the line?
Yeah, well, we now know that trauma, and I will discuss and describe some of the sources, impacts the brain of a child and puts it in on guard, makes it hypervigilant, to be always looking for opportunities where their survival might be threatened, and so therefore they have to be on the offense. So we do know, and this is from the Adverse Childhood Experiences study that was done in over 17,000 people, that when children are exposed to physical or sexual abuse, if they've been neglected, or if they've grown up in households where there is a lot of dysfunction, so mental health problems, substance use problems, incarceration, someone committing suicide. If they've had these experiences in the household and also domestic violence, and if they live in communities where there's a lot of exposure to violence, we do know that that negatively impacts a child and really puts them at risk for developing mental health challenges such as anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. And when these things happen in children, they can externalize the pain that they're feeling inside or internalize. And when they externalize and they're aggressive, this is when we get into violence and aggression from young people.
Go ahead, please. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, and I'm saying, so as a society, when we know that young people are living in adversity, either in the home or in the community, those that have become dysregulated, it's really in our best interest to offer mental health intervention, because we can treat these conditions. They're very treatable, and we can have good outcomes.
You know, looking
when
at these,
we don't do it.
I'm sorry, go ahead, doctor. I can't tell when you stop talking, but go ahead, please.
No, I want you to ask me the question.
Oh, well, but that's why you're here. We want to hear everything you have to say. In terms of trauma, I think perhaps some people listening might think, you know, everybody has a bad childhood, and mom doesn't do this, and dad didn't do that, and you didn't get the new this, or maybe something else happened. But here you're talking about one in five children in Central City has witnessed a murder, and one in three have witnessed domestic violence and other troublesome trends. So yeah, the idea here is to treat it with psychological help and treatment for that trauma, and then you prevent it from winding up with you, I guess, being held up by some juvenile or having some juvenile kill another juvenile. And I'm guessing that is because people feel as though they're living in a war zone and that that's the prism through which they view life, and they think, well, if I'm one in three that watched somebody get murdered, well, then that is the norm. And therefore, I'm going to carry myself in a world where people think that that's just the way life happens. So we'll talk more to Dr. Shervington in the future to find out exactly what some of the remedies would be. But I can see that if one, at least I would believe that if one in five children witness a murder, well, then that kid needs some help, because who knows how that's going to wind up. Thank you, doctor, for your time. 8:30 more when we come back. Time now, WWL First News. And for that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.